Blog Talk Radio.
Truly, that is a beautiful song by Vicky Yahweh. I'm at peace. We can listen to that song all day long. Hallelujah. But if you don't have peace with your Lord and Savior, if you don't have peace in your home, if you don't have peace in your family, if you don't have peace with your coworkers, if you don't have peace with your sisters and brothers, then we're just singing it for naught. But if you know that you have peace in those areas of your life, then the Lord is able to comfort you. Amen. Truly, we're living in a day where sorrow is upon the land. We don't hear anything good. I was just reading online this morning about this man just snatched his five-year-old child off the school bus and killed the bus driver. And I don't know what the outcome has been, but as of yesterday, he was still holding this child hostage. So we living in a time, hallelujah, where there is no peace. But I tell you, if you are in the ark of safety, there is peace. If you are in the bosom of the Lord, there is peace. You have to find that place in God where you won't be disturbed. You won't be rattled about anything that's going on in the land today. Yes, our hearts are sorrowful and our hearts are sad when we hear about tragedies everywhere, all over the country. But we better know that there is a God. Hallelujah. And if we put our trust in him, that don't say we're exempt from some of these tragedies and some of these mishaps. But God is a shield. He's a buckler. He's our protector. He's a provider. Hallelujah. We just thank God for being under the safety valve on today. Amen. Truly, I give God praise for each and every one of you tuning in today to listen to a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministries. We certainly appreciate your sacrifice and your time for this hour to share with us. Amen. We've been having a marvelous time, on this broadcast this week as we ventured into the book of the Acts, and we're talking about the Acts of the Apostles, and I tell you, it's been marvelous, and as I look at this book, and many of you all know, you know, when you hear the word act, you're talking about action. So these apostles and these witnesses in this book of Acts, they were doing something. They were busy. They weren't sitting down chewing the red. They weren't debating. They weren't getting into any confrontations. They just loved the Lord, and they wanted to be in his presence. And whatever he instructed them to do, they were willing. How many people do we have willing to be obedient, willing to take some guidance and some counseling from someone else? Amen? Hallelujah. So we're just thankful for all those that have tuned in this week. I tell you, we began the week with Elder Richard Gates out of Oklahoma City, and then we had Prophetess Patricia Spates out of Lancaster, California, and then all the way from the Carolinas on yesterday, we had a young man, Apostle Timothy Johnson, with us on yesterday. And I tell you, each one of these men of God and the woman of God that labored in the word, they did a fantastic job. Amen. So we're here today with another powerful young man, I'm going to say that. Look, I had to pause for him. He's still young in the Lord. Hallelujah. Full of energy, full of life, full of the anointed word down in his spirit. And he's on fire for the Lord. Amen. So we thank God for him being with us on today. Thank him for making a sacrifice and coming on this line. You know, we're not in a position, but I'm looking for one day that the Lord is going to bless me where I can send out checks. Hallelujah to these speakers that take out of their busy schedule and come and share the word of God with our listeners and the audience that are tuned in to the internet. It is such a blessing. Amen. So I'm looking forward to that day coming, not 5, 10 years from now, but real, real soon. Amen. So we're just excited about having Dr. Kenneth Burford with us. I call him my pastor from Christ Redeeming Center in Stockton, California, and his address is 2281 East Main Street. And that, again, that's in the city of Stockton. And some of you, he's not a stranger to this broadcast. We love him and his beautiful wife, First Lady Verdell Burford, and we just love the anointing that God has upon this man of God, and just appreciate his humbleness and the kind and loving spirit that he demonstrates not only to his parishioners, but all those that he meets. He just has this inviting personality. So with no further ado, we're going to let him open up with the word of prayer, and we're turning it over into his hands. We are in the book of Acts, and his assignment is chapter 8 on today. So God bless you, Pastor Burford. So good to see you on the line with us today. God bless you.
God blessings be upon you. Also, my sister, I love you so much, and I do appreciate you. In Jesus' name, we do. And again, I from time to time, I have to look up words that we use all the time. But one of the definitions of appreciation is to hold something in high value, and to invest in the value that you hold on that particular thing or person. So appreciation doesn't mean I like you, but it means I value you. But if I value you, how can I help but like you? And I just really appreciate you, Evangelist Bernard. You're doing an awesome work and a wonderful job. And I know it's God that has given you this assignment, and he is anointing you to do it with all excellence and with all power and diligence to reach thousands of people across this United States and the world. So God's blessings be upon you. Hallelujah. Father, now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, his name is high, his name is holy, his name is full of power. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Because of his obedience, because of his suffering, because of his willingness, because of his acts of obedience to God, the Lord himself has set him far above his fellows and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and all powers and all dominions and every name that is named. It is the name of Jesus. And Father, today we thank you for giving us authority, privilege, and power through and by the name of the Lord Jesus. Now we take authority in his name, and we exercise power in his name, and we pull down every imagination, every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We bring down and we pull down every activity of the adversary, every strategy of the devil, every manifested power of Satan. We bring it down even now by the authority of the name of Jesus. We speak peace in our area. We speak God's will in our area. We speak the power of God be released and the kingdom of heaven be restored to this earth in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are bound, and we are here to declare it and to decree it. Satan, you have been casted down. Jesus said, I saw you like lightning falling. Hallelujah. And you have fallen, and therefore you can no longer rise to the place of prominence anymore. We see you. We recognize you. We understand your position, and your position is beneath our feet. Your position is under the authority of Christ. Your position is to be defeated. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we exalt the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. We praise the name of the Lord. We magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is no greater name in all the earth. Hallelujah. And Satan can no longer lord it over us in sickness, nor disease, nor poverty, nor lack. We come against that demonic spirit that seeks to thwart who seeks to block, who seeks to hinder what the Lord has spoken over us. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rise up as giants. We rise up as men and women of God. We rise up in the power of the resurrected Christ. For as he has risen, so have we. As he is exalted far above all these principalities and powers, so are we. And we exercise the authority that is in his name. Hallelujah to God. We will no longer be on the defense waiting for the devil to make the first blow. But we stand up in offensive stance, and we declare to the devil that the borders and the hedges have been set, and you can come no further. The borders and the lands have been set, and you cannot encroach upon our land. Hallelujah. God already pronounced the blessings, and they cannot and will not and shall not be reversed. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, heal, Father. Heal us today. Heal us right now. Heal us of every hurt, of every damage of the soul, of every damage of the mind. Heal us today. Cause your blood to cover us. Cause your blood to cleanse us. Cause your blood to free us from every damaging weight that has occurred in our lifetime, that has brought sickness and disease to our soul. Our souls are diseased. Our soul is in pain. Our minds are in turmoil. God, bring peace to your people. Bring peace everywhere. Bring peace to their minds in the name of Jesus. Let your blood cover right now. Let the power of the blood prevail over every adversarial activity that seeks to bring us under condemnation and bring us under depression and bring us under sorrow and pain. I bind that up right now. Saints of God, let it go. My brother and my sister, let it go. 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 Stop holding on to what they said. Stop holding on to what they did. Stop holding on to how they looked at you. Stop holding on to what they did to you. Let it go. Let it go. God wants you to live in peace. God wants you to live in joy. God wants you to live in freedom. God wants you to live in power. And we cannot live in that freedom and peace and power as long as we bring ourselves under what other people have done to us. Let it go so that you can rise above it. Let it go so you can live above it. Let it go so you can see above it. Keep your eyes off of the stuff that's on the ground and put your eyes back on the hills from whence cometh our help. Take your attention from the things of this world and set your emotions and your affections on things above, where Christ is now at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Come on, saints of God. Let's rise above this pettiness. Let's rise above offense. Let's rise above this hurt that men have tried to inflict upon us, and live in the freedom and in the healing and in the deliverance that Christ has wrought for us through his blood, through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, and through his life. Hallelujah. Choose to be free. Choose to be free. Choose today to let it go. Choose today to forgive. Choose today to walk in the things of God and no longer the offense of this world. Hallelujah. Choose today the life that God has given to you. Oh, it's available. Oh, it's for you. Oh, he wants you to have it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God, the Lord our God is a good God. There's nothing about him that is condemning. There is nothing about the Lord our God that brings you under bondage of condemnation. His grace is renewed every morning. Hallelujah. His hand is continually stretched out towards you. Oh, the mercies of the Lord are rich towards those who fear him or reverence him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Saints of God, let's walk in freedom. Saints of God, let's walk in deliverance. Saints of God, let's walk in the power of God. Oh, let go of that hurt. Let go. I don't know why I'm going back to that again. But let go of that pain. Let go of what they said. Let go of what you thought you saw. Hallelujah. And allow God to bathe you in the glorious light of his presence. Let his light fill your soul. Let his glory fill your mind. Let you be blinded, if it were, by the light of God's glory and not by the doom and gloom of this earth and the systems of this world. God wants to fill you with light. God wants to fill you with his light. God wants to fill you with his glory. God wants you to walk in the glorious light of his resurrected power. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Let it go, brothers and sisters, and walk in God's peace, and walk in God's grace, and walk in his mercy. In Jesus' name is my prayer. Hallelujah. Well, again, I'm just thankful for this platform, for this ability to share with the listeners on today some things that I look at. Being right or wrong is not what I seek. What I seek is to get proper information. Being right and wrong, trying to stand on and affirm yourself with the right and wrong attitude would always make us and cause us to be pitted against one another, divided from one another, separated from marginalizing one another, disrespecting one another. So my approach to the Word of God is not to find out whether I'm right and you're wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right, which is saying the same thing. My approach to the Word of God is to gain as much information as I possibly can, so that as I speak and share, I will be most accurate, in conveying the heart and the mind of our Father God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God's thoughts. Jesus is God's idea. Jesus is God's concepts. Jesus is God's heart that has been verbalized, and we call it in the Old Testament the Word of the Lord. And the Word of the Lord came unto so-and-so, and the Word of the Lord came unto Isaiah. The Word of the Lord came forth, hallelujah, and even sent his Word and healed him. But in the New Testament, we see that Word has taken on flesh, and now the flesh is Jesus, hallelujah. And so we must do everything in his name, and by the authority of his name, by the authority of the Word of God that represents who God is. So we're just trying to represent God. We're not trying to be right, and we're not trying to show that anybody else is not right. We're just looking at it and seeing what we see. So my assignment today was to view chapter 8 of this book that we call Acts. And I like to look at some things and just see a little bit beyond the surface. And we understand that Acts is the second book that Luke wrote. And we also understand that when he wrote it, there was no title. There was no name to it. He wrote it to his friend Theophilus, but there was no Theophilus, this is Acts. It was just a letter to his friend Theophilus. And so later on, the translators and the transcribers wrote Acts, and it was kind of left open. At a time, it was viewed as the Acts of the Apostles, and then there was a time when it was viewed as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons why it's viewed as the Acts of the Holy Spirit is because the book of Acts is not theological in its nature. It is basically historical in its nature. It is a book that shows us what happened after Jesus' ascension. It's a book that showed us, chronologized for us, the activities that took place as the church was birthed, as the apostles came forth, as things happened during the time, the first 70 years after Jesus rose from the dead. So it is basically a history or chronologizing of the acts of the Holy Spirit and the apostles as they carried out the will of God in Jesus' stead on the earth. And so looking at the book of Acts, you see a lot of what the Holy Ghost is doing, and men and women are following the move and the directions of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, I wish we had more folks like that today instead of trying to build up their own kingdoms and start their own organizations and build up their own platforms. I wish there were more people who was truly, truly seeking to follow the acts of the Holy Spirit and to utilize the power of God in this dimension, this earth realm that we live in. And so as I focus in on chapter 8, we start off in chapter 8 with just a little bit more comment about this young man named Saul, because in chapter 7 we know that this Saul was holding the coats of those who murdered Stephen. And so chapter 8 starts off with the fact that Saul was consenting to not only the death of Stephen, but to anyone else who adhered to or subscribed to this gospel of Christ, this Jesus, this movement, this way. Hallelujah. Anyone who was not of Judaism, anyone who was not of the denomination that Paul grew up in, anyone who was not of the church that Paul went to, was an enemy as far as he was concerned. And he wasn't doing it on his own like a vigilante. He was doing it by the authority of the heads of the church, the Jewish church that was in Jerusalem. So he had the authority to put people in bondage and even to death that subscribed to this gospel of Christ and the way that Jesus had set. And so we see that happening. But because I don't have all day, there's one place that I really, really want to focus my intention, probably two. So let's start with the first one and see if I can get to the second one. In verse number 9, as we look in chapter number 8, it says that there was a certain man in the city. First off, let me go back. As persecution came to the city of Jerusalem, the saints began to scatter. The saints scattered, but the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Many of the saints went to different places, not all of them, but the apostles basically stayed back in Jerusalem, and a few of the non-Jewish Hellenistic, which were the Greek and the Jews, they kind of stayed back. And so here we had the deacon by the name of Philip, who was one of those who were chosen to be deacon and was a evangelist. The first time we see that word evangelist in the Bible was subscribed to this man Philip. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, I'm looking at this, and I'm going to try to make it short, so I'm talking really fast. I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at what the Holy Spirit is doing that is so contrary to many people that I love and respect in this day, but yet I see them being extremely prejudiced in their view. We, church folks who've been in church about all of our life, look at verse 5 and don't blink an eye at the fact that Philip went to a city that Jewish people never would set foot in. They wouldn't go there. They wouldn't deal with nobody from there. They didn't have nothing to do with those people in Samaria because they were not considered whole Jews. They mixed with other races, and their religious order was different from the Orthodox, and so to mix with the Samaritans would be mixing with dogs. My mind. But Philip went to the city of Samaritans where the normal Judaizer, the normal religious man wouldn't touch. And he preached Christ to them. And everybody was listening, and people were receiving, and therefore miracles began to take place. The power of God was being shown. Unclean spirits was coming out of people. Folks who had palsy or shaking, what we call, I forget that man's name, but there's a Hodgson's disease, or the disease that causes you to shake uncontrollably. Lame people were healed. All this stuff was going on in a city that church folks wouldn't go to. The Holy Ghost will allow you and sometimes tell you and sometimes prompt you to go into other areas that other people consider they ain't saved. How many churches do we know that say we don't go to that church? Uh-huh. We don't believe like them. But the Holy Spirit had Philip to go into an area where people didn't believe like them, and they were considered socially to be unacceptable to the religious group. Now we see when Philip was there, he met a man named Simon. Now Simon was operating in the spiritual things. He was called a sorcerer. But sorcery and witchcraft is spiritual, just like Christianity is spiritual. The only thing is it comes from another source and another place. And because we forget we are spirit beings, and these people who operate in witchcraft and sorcery also deal in spiritual things, it is difficult for us to see it, but those who don't know Christ like we do, they are susceptible to the influence of spiritual influx, spiritual manifestations, spiritual experiences. So the whole area thought that Simon was a true man of God and was exercising the power of God because he was dealing in spiritual things. He probably could foretell some things. He probably could make certain things happen. But when Philip went and preached concerning the name of Jesus Christ, it showed up what was not valid. It showed up the false. It showed up the fake. See, it matters not if you can pull a rabbit out of the hat. But if you, when you preach the gospel and preach the message of Jesus the Christ, it shows something far greater than doing tricks, moving things and moving objects, making small things happen. The gospel of Jesus Christ will change your whole life and life status. It will move you from the depths of your being and not entertain you with your eyes. The thing about sorcery and witchcraft is it has this way of encapsulating your senses, and you can see a thing and therefore you believe it. But when we hear the gospel, it plants a seed of life down inside of us that changes our whole, if you will, DNA status, and the birth, the life of God, the regeneration begins to take place from the very core of the individual, changing their view, changing who they are, giving them new birth status, giving them a connection with the Creator God that they've never had before. And it's not just some trickery, not some object that you can move with some special incantation, not some entertainment, but it is a new life, a new generation, a rebirthing, if you will. And there the people saw and understood the difference between being tricked, being manipulated in their senses, and finding the real. And when these people heard the gospel, they were baptized. And it mentions both men and women. And again, my brothers and sisters that are listening to me right now, you need to, I'm sorry, I don't tell people what they need to do. Let me just put it like this. It would be a wonderful thing if we could see in the word and see in the culture of that time that women were second-class citizens. Women were owned. Women were had just to produce heirs for the men who took them. And under that particular time of living, if a man didn't like your cooking, he could get rid of you and get another woman because you were just that not valuable. Look in the Bible and see how many times women were noted as doing great things. They weren't. You had to be far, far, far exceptional for there to be a notation of a woman in the Bible. And so when it says that they were baptized both men and women, it wasn't just a casual statement. This statement is saying that the Holy Ghost not only will send a man to a place where nobody else will go, he will cross the status line. He will cross the line of how your social order is, and the social order will no longer matter at all to the Holy Ghost because he will move on the women just like he will move on the men. And there's no more women of second class have to sit over here. You can't sit with the brothers, or God cannot use you in this area simply because you are of the female status. But God says, no, all of that now is done away with. So I'm putting my spirit upon men and women. I'm allowing both the women and the men to be baptized. And they're not second class citizens in the sight of God. Now, the Bible says that Simon believed because he heard the gospel, not because of any trickery, not because of any manipulation of the senses, but he heard the gospel. The gospel. The life-changing gospel of the name of Jesus Christ. He heard it. And he believed also, which means he understood what he was doing was only dealing with the senses, but what was being preached was getting down to the real spirit of the man. So he was also baptized. And he stayed with Philip as a follower, as a disciple of Philip, if you will. And the Bible said he wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So it appears that everything that Philip was doing was outdoing what Simon had ever done. Because even Simon was wondering and beholding the miracles that was done by Philip, and Philip was not even an apostle. He was classified as a deacon, walking in the office of an evangelist. So God, by the Holy Spirit, was operating through this evangelist Philip in a supernatural and powerful way and manner to people who were not considered your normal religious group. Now, I need to speed this up, but I want you all to pay attention to this. Excuse my phone ringing in the background. I want you to pay attention to this. The evangelist Philip was able to do great signs and wonders. The evangelist Philip was able to do great things and even baptize people in this city, but the evangelist Philip could not get them to the point or place where they received the Holy Spirit. And so this, to me, brings a big question in my mind, not a question so much, but something more of an observation in all of the ministry gifts, and all of the ministry gifts that are listed in Ephesians, each one of them have their positions, their purposes, and their places. And we can see that the evangelist, though he can operate in some things, he cannot operate in all things. So in this case, and in this condition, and in this place, the evangelist Philip asked, or the church sent John and Peter to this area, so that these people would be filled with the Holy Spirit, because they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost as of yet. They only were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so as they came, John and Peter, please forgive me for that. If I go close to that phone, you're going to hear it louder, so I'm going to stay over here. As we look at this particular scripture, we see that John and Peter came and laid hands upon these people, and they immediately received the Holy Ghost. Now, Simon saw it, which lets me know that when John and Peter laid hands on them, there was something that came forth from the people that made Simon say, I want that. I mean, it doesn't really, you don't really see it here unless you are a person who gets definitions of words. So let me help you in that area. In verse 19, it says, Simon is saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, when we look at the word matter, that's why we always must study the Bible and not read the Bible. In our American way of thinking, we will say, thou hast no lot or part in this situation, this matter, this circumstance, what's going on here. You don't have nothing to do with this. But in the Greek, as it was translated, this word matter has a definition of utterance, or words, or speech. So in other words, it could be said, thou hast no part nor lot in this speech, or this utterance, or this word. What word? When the apostles laid hands on them, the Bible just simply said they received the Holy Ghost, but they obviously spoke in tongues, because it would not have gotten Simon's attention if he just laid hands on them and they said hallelujah and walked on their way. Something supernatural happened to these people with the laying on of the apostles' hands. And the clue is in the definition of the word matter, which means utterance or speech or something spoken or said. And Simon wanted the ability to do that. Of course, you all know the scriptures. The apostles said that, you know, that you're going to perish with that thought. But then Simon prayed, said, pray for me. Don't let this happen. I don't want that to happen to me. And you don't hear too much more about Simon after that. I pray that his life was changed. I believe it was. But I'm going down to the second thing that I want to mention really quickly because my time is running out. Again, and I'm harping on those who are religiously prejudiced, the Holy Ghost, through an angel, spoke to Philip and said, go to the south, down from Jerusalem into Gaza, into the desert. And he rose and he went down to the south. And he saw two things. First, he saw a black man. Now, remember, Philip was one of the first deacons that were ordained. And if we look at the book of Acts, when they ordained the deacons, these deacons basically were Hellenistic Jews. They were basically Greek Jewish, Greek, because that's where the contention was. The Greeks thought that the Jewish people was getting better treatment than they, and when you see the list of names, those names that were listed were not names that were Jewish names. They were all Greek names. So it is assumed that the deacons that were called were basically Hellenistic Jews. They were either half Jew, Greek, or they was all Greek, or something of that nature. but they still were very, very, very Jewish in their concept, even if they were Hellenistic Jews. But here we see the Holy Ghost sends this evangelist to a race of people that may or may not have been accepted 100% by the status quo, Ethiopian, number one. Secondly, he was sent to a marginalized, disenfranchised group of the black race called eunuchs. Now, when I look at Jesus' conversation, if you want to call it a conversation, I see Jesus where he says in the book of Matthew that there are some eunuchs which are so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs by men, and there are some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God for technology. You have some eunuchs that made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And Jesus made this statement in lieu of a question about divorce and getting remarried. What the world does this statement about eunuchs being born eunuchs and eunuchs being made eunuchs and eunuchs making themselves eunuchs have to do with divorce, remarriage, and who's committing adultery if they marry again? It's because of the connotation, and it's because of the social status that's placed on eunuchs. So, here we are in Acts chapter 8, looking at the Holy Ghost bringing a man of God into the presence of not only a black person, but bringing him into the presence of one who is called a eunuch. A socially marginalized group of people who either was castrated by men or their virility, I'm trying to be nice, their virility, sex orientation or drive was from birth the way that it was, or they had power enough within themselves to make themselves a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven. My brothers and sisters, if you remember anything about the Old Testament, no man that didn't have his stones could go into worship. If there was damage in his reproductive organs at all, he was disallowed from temple worship forever. So what kind of point is this in the Holy Ghost sending this man, Philip, to a man, one, was an Ethiopian, two, was a eunuch? I don't even know how Philip knew he was a eunuch. You don't get into that, and I'm not getting into any speculations. But the fact of the matter, those are the three kinds of categories of eunuchs. Either you was born that way, or man castrated you and you became one, or you had power enough within yourself that it didn't matter and you could do without forever and you just made yourself one for the kingdom of heaven. But yet and still, this was a disenfranchised, marginalized group. Pastor Ken, you're putting too much on it. What's the purpose? I'm trying to tell you that the Holy Ghost will send you the folks that other people will cast out. I'm trying to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not some exclusive thing that only ministers to folks who dress a certain way, look a certain way, or go to a name of a church that has a certain name over it. Holy Spirit will send us to people who are who have been marginalized, who are social outcasts, who are in a social group and category that nobody pays attention to or even wants to be a part of. If your Holy Ghost don't allow you to embrace everybody, you don't have the Holy Ghost that Jesus had.
Come on now. Ooh, glory.
So the Holy Spirit sent Philip to this black eunuch. And this black eunuch was very, very acquainted with Jewish worship. Oh, my goodness. Very, very acquainted with Jewish worship. And so what happened? This eunuch was reading scriptures in Isaiah. And so the Holy Spirit told Peter, Philip rather, to go closer, and he went closer, and he asked the eunuch, do you know what you're reading? And he said, no, he didn't. And then Philip, by the Holy Spirit, began to give him understanding of the word of God. And as he did so, they came upon water, and the eunuch said, here's water. Why can't we be baptized? He was baptized, and then the Holy Ghost took him up out of that place immediately. Again, I want to emphasize as much as I possibly can that the power of the Holy Ghost will take you, if you're not religiously prejudiced, to areas where other people have not gone, and to deal with people whom others say don't have a right to be dealt with. There's something wrong with them. This is why I like to call the book of Acts, along with the Acts of the Apostles, I also like to call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Because this shows you how far God will go to save a black man. How far God will go to save a group of people, a small, marginal group called eunuchs that was either born that way, made that way by castration, or decided they ain't going to have nothing to do sexually with no one for the sake of the kingdom. Because that's the only way that you were going to be set up in some harem or be working with the queen or her maids. That was the only way you were going to be able to do that, because they were going to make sure you wouldn't get none of them pregnant. So either you was born with the ability not to even get aroused about it, or you was castrated, or they knew that you had power over yourself. Something would allow you to get into there. But these are people who the normal mainstream church wouldn't touch. How far will you go to preach the gospel to people? Will you preach, could you preach the gospel to a person who is marginalized in our society? What if they wore black fingernail polish, black coats, black lips, spiked hair? Would you even bother to share Jesus with them? What if they didn't look like their gender said that they were supposed to look like? Could you, would you administer the word of God to them? What if they were not of your race? Could you, would you administer the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to them? What if they were not of the religious order that you were? Their religious beliefs weren't the same as yours. Could you? Would you? I believe that the Holy Ghost is pushing us to administer this power of God to every class and every group of people. But I know by living, not in America, just living here in the San Joaquin Valley area, that we will separate ourselves from people based on looks, based on church name, based on orientation. We will back up off of them as if they are spoiled cheese. and will not offer to them the good news of the gospel, or we will try to change them from the outside before we can give them the gospel that changes them on the inside. My brothers and sisters, this eighth chapter of the Acts of the Holy Ghost is very essential to those who handle the gospel, who are evangelists, who are ministers, because an evangelist is not one who just goes from church to preach. But this evangelist went to all the places that most of the organized Orthodox church would not go. And they didn't just preach, but signs and wonders followed their ministry. And they took up the cause to preach the gospel to people like eunuchs, like Ethiopians, like people who were not of the same faith, like mixed breeds of the Samaritans. They took up the cause there as well. Great things were done through their hands. I'm so glad that I'm living in this age and living in this time, because I believe that the power of God is at the point of being more and more manifested in our life before the coming of the Lord. I'm excited about what God is doing in us and through us. I'm excited about how the Lord is about to manifest his glory again in the same manner in which he did in the book of Acts. And I'm telling you, this is a little bit of my heart for my own church at Christ Redeeming Center. We are on a quest. Our hearts have been turned, and we are rightfully indignant. And we're seeking for a manifestation of the power of God in our churches. No more preaching, no more just having church, no more being blessed, no more having a nice time in the Lord. No, we are seeking for wonders and for signs and for miracles to occur, because the Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there has to be manifestations of God in our churches. There has to be demonstrations and validations of this word of God in our ministry. Otherwise, we are just people of rhetoric and talk. But I pray, even as the disciples prayed in the book of Acts, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us your servants that with all boldness we might preach your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. It is my prayer today that we will be ignited, and that we will be set on fire, and that we will be totally immersed, not only in coming to church to have a nice service, but we will come with expectation of the power of God to heal, to deliver, to set free, to do miracles. And I'm not talking about those who comes in jean skirts and doilies. I'm talking about if they're switching up in there. God, bring them in so we can teach them the gospel. I don't care if they come in looking like a Dracula. Lord, let them come in so we can preach them the gospel, and we will embrace them, and we will preach to them the power of Christ, and it will excite the city, not just the church. Because if we look at Philip, what he did affected the whole town, not just the church. It said there was great joy in the city, not in the synagogue. So we have to be a church that reaches past our walls and reach past our denomination and reach past our creed and reach past those who look like us and proclaim this good news of Christ to every man, everywhere, with signs following and powers and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 That's my observation of chapter number 8. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That was some good word, Lord Jesus. You could go on and on, Pastor Wilson. This was your hour. He has been very, very nice today, but you have to see him in living color. Good word. I'm just so excited. I don't know about you all, but I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited when I see
Amen.
People healed and delivered and set
Amen.
Free. They're no
Amen.
Longer, like you say, they're walking in freedom. Freedom. They're
yes.
walking without no shackles and chains on them.
Yes.
Free
yes.
in their mind. Free in their spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus, when I think about I told one of my friends, you know, she was talking to me, and I said, Lord, you know, bondage, you know, but when you, we were so, you know, when you, when the Lord has done something for you, you know, you trying to be saved, and you just want to your whole family and everybody embrace what you have. You know, the Holy Ghost is something, it's indescribable. You can't explain it. You have to get it. Even after you get it, you can't even describe it. So, you know, you're just so hungry and thirsting after God. And whatever the man or woman of God instruct you to do, you're willing to do it. You know, but when you get this word and you begin to start studying, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. You know, I had put on a pair of earrings in 26 years. 26 years, 26 long years, because I adhere to the tradition of what my pastors say, what they had already, Pastor Bert would say, you know, living a marginalized life, you know, and if you don't do this, you ain't saved. If you do this, you can't go to the movies. You can't do this, you can't do that. Well, you know, my house got known as the can't-do house. My mother's face property, face house, had just moved to Los Angeles, you know, and I just wear conform, no more pants. And, well, I never wore no makeup in the world. So, you know, when my family would come, they labeled my house the can't-do house. So, in other
my goodness.
Words, go on to Adrian's house, but I'm letting you know you can't do nothing at our house. Hallelujah. And I subscribe to that gospel, their gospel. It ain't this gospel in the Bible. It's their gospel for 20-some odd years. But I tell you, hallelujah, I didn't lose nothing from it. You know, hey, it didn't cause me to backslide. It didn't cause me to lose my faith and my trust in God. I still maintain. But after the Lord called me into ministry about 7 or 8 years ago, I still was adhering to this crazy stuff. Hallelujah. But I tell you, for the past 3 years or so, I've been free. Well, I've only been free really about a year as far as the earrings. They just never bothered me anymore. You know, when something is out of your spirit, then it really don't bother you. It's not hard for you. It's not grievous anymore. Hallelujah. So that's just my experience. Yours may be something different. I don't know, but Mother's face, it was hard. It was hard. It was hard. You know, here today, you can go rent any kind of movie you want. They watching pornography right sitting in their living room, but they tell you, don't go to the movies. That's it. But you go and buy pornography. And you sit in your living room with your mother or whoever you with, watching it anyhow. So how you going to tell the sex not to go to the movies? Some crazy stuff. But let me leave that alone. I'm going to open up the line. I see Mother's face on the line. I see, I saw Pastor Adams on the line. I see Apostle Timothy on the line. I'm opening up the lines. If you all have any questions or if you want to make any comments, you can. I say you don't have to come on the stage and meet Dr. Bert, but he's just a wonderful, wonderful teacher and preacher of the word. And I tell you, we just love him to death. Amen. So, Mother Stacy, God bless you.
Amen. To God be the glory, giving honor to all the great men and women of God. Yes, we are. They're great in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because we're serving a great God. That word was right on time. I'm a scribe, so when the men and women get to preaching, I get to writing. But he spoke on some things that made me set up. I was laying down for a moment, but I set up because we're in that hour that he was talking about divination. Hallelujah. And I just want to add that scripture, hallelujah, what the man of God has brought today. It tells us in Ezekiel to teach my people, and this is what he was doing. He so skillfully did that. Teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. And that's what he was sharing that I got out of eight, many other things, but hallelujah, that he just so skillfully explained the difference of the familiar, hallelujah, how it took over a city.
Yes.
And had the people all caught up, hallelujah, and he did it so skillfully and so wisely that he wasn't putting the blame. He showed the difference. There's two spirits in the world.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
and that really blessed me about, because it's in the church today, that same activity. So I praise God for that. But it tells us to teach them the difference in Ezekiel, the clean from the unclean. The Ezekiel, I think that's 44. Teach 44:23. Teach the people the difference from the clean, the holy, and the profane, and the clean, and he said discern between the clean and the unclean. So I praise God for that. I was blessed, man of God. Thank you so much for that word.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Apostle Johnson, so good to see you. He spoke for us yesterday. Out of the Carolinas, just a wonderful young man, and we truly look forward to meeting him. So God bless you, Apostle Johnson.
God bless you as well. Grace and peace to all. Certainly, man of God, I enjoyed the word on today. I just wanted to tell you and encourage you to keep doing what God has called you to do. But certainly in this hour, he's teaching us to preach about holiness and holy living. And as Mother was saying just a moment ago, you know, we've got to teach it because as the word of God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Father. And so we've got to continue to live holy. We've got to continue to set the standards high and know that we can't build them for our own personal pleasure. And that's what people are trying to do in this day and age, is bend the word for their personal pleasure. I know when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, that's why we have to report the importance of repentance. But when we teach it and it gets embedded in us and inside of us, we stay doing what we know to do that is right. And so I honor God for your word on today, and I just, you know, are excited about it and encourage you to continue to do what God is doing in your life, sir.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. I see Pastor Adams, and I see some unfamiliar phone numbers also. We're going to go to you. And if I see these callers on the line today, so God bless you. We thank each and every one of you. We're going to get him down to his career after Pastor Adams. God bless you, Pastor Adams.
God bless you, woman of God, and to my own pastor, Pastor Burford, to the apostle, evangelist, and to the prophets, and to all of God's leaders and people. I thank God for the word today, Pastor Burford. When you got to praying, I almost hung up after that and say, well, amen. That prayer was so powerful. Amen. But I'm so glad that I stayed on the line. And, you know, different people get different insights, and their understanding is open. And, you know, there are different things that we as the people of God that we horn in on, and that we have an understanding. There are different things, you know, we become so knowledgeable in, and I just thank God for your knowledge, amen, and how you open up our understanding. And I love Black history, amen, and when you got to talking about that I'm like Mother, that said that she sat up in the bed. I stopped doing what I was doing. I was trying to multitask, and I stopped what I was doing because I love Black history. And then when you open it up and find out, excuse me, that we as black people, that we are worth something, and folk tell us we ain't no good, we don't amount to nothing, and this and that and other, and we have a bad taste about slavery and about being black because of our American history. But to know the man of God, the eunuch, he must have been of some worth, because guess what he was doing? He was driving a chariot, so he must have had some station in life. He driving the Cadillacs of Cadillacs, okay? It was a chariot, so it was like him driving a Cadillac or a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he had some worth, and he must have had some worth because he was reading. Hello. He's reading the Bible. Amen. And then Philip asked him, do you know what you're reading?
Mm-hmm.
And so evidently he had some station in life. So, you know, that when our folk come out of prison, they need to know that this Jesus we serve ain't a white man's Jesus. Hello. And,
right.
And you know, and so it dispels this lesson today, and what Pastor Burford said, dispels some of the things that we have been taught. And I thank God for this man of God, because the Word of God says that God has no respect of person. Amen. So what he doing with one race, he can do with another. What he do with one creed, he can do with another. And God is doing a work in our lives. Amen. Back to you, my sister.
Amen, amen. And I just want to tell our listeners, those of you that don't know something that does know, that Pastor Adams hosts a Blog Talk Radio show on the same network, it's Search for Love. And that call-in number, he's on Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. Pacific time, and that's 8 a.m. Central time, and that's also 9 a.m. Eastern Standard time. So his call-in number is area code 646-478-0116. Again, that's 646-478-0116, and he hosts a show there on this Blog Talk Radio. So get up in the morning, and I tell you, if you're retired or at home and you don't have to work, get up in the morning and get on the line and support him. And also those of you that are ministers, that are evangelists, and, you know, you have a word from the Lord, he'd be more than happy to have you come and support him on his radio broadcast. Amen. We're going to area code 773. And the last four of your number is 5395. Can you greet us? Call us. Okay. Maybe they don't want to say anything. Let's go to area code 510. And the last four of your number is 2642. Can you greet us, caller?
Yes, God bless you.
God bless you. Who am I speaking with?
This is Minister Michael Davis.
God bless you, Minister Davis. How are you?
Everything's fine. I'm here in Northern California. I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for all of the people who God has touched their heart to listen to this wonderful revelation by the Holy Spirit through this servant of the Lord to make us aware of the perception that's operating in the body. It's amazing because Simon claimed to be saved, but it wasn't until the Apostle Peter came to reveal that he did not have true salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I truly believe that the situation in many churches are that people are coming, but they're still bound, and we're preaching the word, but as soon as they get from under the anointing, they step right back into bondage. And I visit a lot of churches myself all over the country, and I see a lot of good teaching, Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of good Bible teachers. But I don't see the exercise of casting devils out. Because in order to bind the, in order to take authority over the strong man, you have to first bind the strong man. And then you can actually take the house. You can't take the house until you bind the strong man. So I simply am concerned that I do see great teaching, but I don't see great deliverance. And that's been my concern as I travel back and forth and you know, wherever the Lord leads me to go and blesses me to sit in on different congregations and different churches, that the teaching is good, and they are teaching the Word of God. But then the other element where the people can actually be set free by the casting out of devils, the laying on of hands, taking authority over unclean spirits, foul spirits, demonic spirits, spirits of darkness, spirits of witchcraft. You know, God gave us authority over all of those spirits in Luke 10 and 19. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and power over all the power of the enemy." And that's the only thing I've seen lacking in most churches. It's not the teaching of the Word, but it's the demonstration of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Good. Well, thank you, Minister Mike. That certainly is true, and that's what Pastor Burford was speaking on today, you know, demonstration. Where are the signs? Where are the wonders? Where are the miracles? You know, people come to church in that condition and they leave out, you know. And I find it very critical and very necessary that we do go back. Some people say, "Don't take me back. I don't want to go back to where my church had to be, to my ankle." Well, we're not talking about that. We're not talking in the natural. Take me back for the spiritual side of what God was doing in the church. There's no more coming together. As we've seen in this book of Acts, we've seen those that were in the upper room, the 120 that tarried and waited on the Holy Ghost. We've seen when they've gotten filled with the Spirit of God that they were illuminated, and then they went out and they did the miracles, the signs, and the ones that followed them. But today, you know, there's no more. A prayer meeting is the least attended service. You're not going to, you may get a handful, and that'll be it. You know, and I'm talking about in churches, the smaller churches, the largest churches, prayer, nobody coming out for prayer. But let's say Kirk Franklin and the family is there, and Yolanda Adams, Donnie McClurk. Oh, they're gonna pack the house out. So we're living in the days of Noah, and the Bible says, "As it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Lord." So we want to eat, we want to drink, we want to be entertained. And as Dr. Burford said last night, even in his Bible class last night, you know, we come and we want to dance and we shout it. Oh, then we leave there and we say we blessed. Well, when you leave there, you know, whatever situations and whatever you have to confront and deal with at your home, it's still there. Because guess what? You dance and you shout and you ain't never heard the word. You don't even know what the man of God said. You're just moving on your emotions. So when are we as the saints of the Most High God? Then, you know, we want to pride ourselves on, you know, "Oh, I'm apostolic," and I'll say it. I'm bold enough to say I'm apostolic. I don't go to no anywhere they ain't calling the water and anywhere they ain't preaching the apostolic doctrine. Well, I don't see the word apostolic nowhere in the Bible. In the book of Acts, they talked about the Acts of the Apostles, not the apostolic doctrine. There ain't no apostolic doctrine. So all this foolishness, and then we have folks sitting in the church dying. We have husbands and wives sitting in the church, and they leave there, and they fighting like cats and dogs. Hallelujah. We have people come in lame, and they leave lame. There is nothing. That's why folks is taking to the internet. That's why they're staying at home watching or hearing the word on their left I have some issues. The enemy is already attacking my mind. These seducing spirits talking to me, and I make the sacrifice and do that. And then when I get there, there's no help for me. I don't waste my day. I'm wasting my time. I could have turned on the game and watched the Los Angeles Clippers or somebody. So you know what? People need help, Dr. Burford, Mother Faith, Minister Davis, Pastor Adam, Apostle Johnson. All of we've been having about 23 to 27 callers on the line. All this week talking about the Acts of the Apostles. Hallelujah. And then we'll go to church tomorrow and have a heart. And don't like sister so-and-so, and don't like brother so. Come on, people. What are we doing? And then we profess that we're doing kingdom business. This is kingdom work. And then, come on. If somebody asks you to give them a ride to the grocery store, you ain't got time. So, come on, kingdom work. What is kingdom work? The Bible said when you see your brother and your sister, and they have a need, you shut up your bowels of mercy, your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you? And how we gonna lay hands on folks and we sick? We can't lay hands on nobody and they gonna recover and you ain't even well. That's why the Bible says, don't let no man I'm careful who lay hands on me. Hallelujah, because I got the Holy Ghost. I could lay hands on myself. I could anoint my own self. The Bible gave me that right. Pray for yourself. You can prophesy to yourself. Don't get me started. I'm going on back to Dr. Burford, because this is just too much. Time is out for playing church. We have a form of godliness, and we're still running. You know, we still compete with one another. Who can raise the most money? Who can get the biggest crowd? It's not about no biggest crowd. And it's not about no who can raise the most money. What are you doing with the money? What are you doing with the crowd when the crowd comes? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Are you thinking about a real life? Like Dr. Burford, you said last night. I mean, you say it on Sunday. I don't need to teach you all how to sin. We all know well how to sin. I need to teach you how to think more rationally. I need to teach you how to know that who you are in Christ Jesus. I don't need to teach you how to hold monger and how to lie and sin. Y'all, we just in our nature. We know well how to do that. Hallelujah, but teach me how to live. Teach me how to walk into the places that God already has prepared for. He said we sit in heavenly places right now. We don't have to wait until we get into heaven. We need to be doing something now. Some folks are waiting until they get to heaven to relax, to have some glory. We should be able to live royally, because guess what? We are teaching other kids. I ain't waiting till I get to heaven to get what God got for me. I'm gonna enjoy my life right here on earth, and I'm gonna keep on praising God. I'm gonna keep on sacrificing whatever the Lord wants me to do. I'm gonna do it. He is my employer. I don't have no other employer. I don't have a husband. Ain't looking for nothing. Amen. But I have a man that I know. I don't have to ever be concerned about him not being there for me, because he have a benefit package and it won't go bankrupt. Hallelujah. It won't downsize. It won't stretch out. His benefit package is secure. Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of you all on the day. I'm going back to Dr. Burford. I want you all to know tomorrow we have another young man that will be here with us. That's Dr. Winston Fulton of Great and Risen Ministries out of Los Angeles, California. He'll be ministering to us on tomorrow. And I tell you, he knows his Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He's a young man. Living life. will be with us on tomorrow. So we're going back. Thank you, Dr. Burford. I tell you guys, y'all just forgive me. He's one of a kind. We love him and we appreciate him. And just thank God for him taking out of his busy schedule to come and share the word with our listeners and the audience. Amen. God bless you, Dr. Burford.
Amen.
I see two people that I did miss. Sister Tisha just signed on. Let me get her, Dr. Burford, and then I'm going to let you close on the final word. Amen. God bless you. It's got a lot going on. Dr. Burford, it's back into your hands.
I'm sorry?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, in our closing today, just want to reiterate and just want to encourage every one of you to let's be students of the word. And as we state often in our church, that in order for us to have faith in an area, we have to have preaching and teaching in that area. Just like when Paul was preaching to the man who had been born a cripple, and the Bible said that Paul, as he was preaching, saw that this man was looking at him, but he could perceive by the Holy Spirit that this man had faith to be healed. So I'm telling you that Paul could not have been preaching about clothes, a denominational creed, and that man all of a sudden had faith to be healed of something that he had never done, like walk. So in order for us to see the works of God and manifest the deliverances in our churches, we've got to preach a message that talks about the delivering power of Jesus and talks about the healing power of Jesus. And then once we finish talking about it, then we demonstrate it. And so this is all that I'm talking about for the book of Acts chapter 8. I'm staying with what I was told to talk about, and that was Acts chapter 8. And we see that whenever the Holy Spirit sends people out, that there is going to be manifestations if we keep it under the auspices of the Holy Ghost. Let him lead, let him guide, let him do the work. It's not us, it is him, and he will manifest the glory of God whenever we submit to the power of God. This I believe with all my heart and with all my soul. Now, I pray for all of you who are on the air today, even those who have already hung up. I pray for you right now that the Spirit of the Lord would not only bring clarity to the word of God, but that he would, the Spirit of the Lord, would heal you and deliver you and free you and cause you to walk in the glory and in the power and in the anointing of Holy Spirit. I pray today that our lives as believers will not be a life of finding what makes us different, but finding what makes us common and brings us together around the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer today is that we will walk in a fresh anointing like never before. Jesus' name, I pray this for all of my brothers and sisters and everyone who is listening on today that is just curious. I pray that you receive the Lord as your Savior. Jesus is not a religious God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is not a denominational God. Jesus is the Word of God. So if you receive the Lord Jesus today, if you receive him, he said you would become a son of God. So I pray today for every one of you who are listening, everyone who is at the crossroads, everyone who's trying to make a decision, that you will totally go ahead and embrace the Jesus that we serve today. God bless every one of you. We love you so seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all once again. Again, thank you, Dr. Burford. Thank God for Prophetess Faith joining us today. And just Apostle Pastor Burns was on the line also out of Louisville, Kentucky. We thank God for him and the Apostle and Elder Gates and Pastor Adams and all of the other women of God that is on the line. I saw Sister Cheryl, Minister Cheryl Robinson also on the line. So some of you all have dropped off, but we thank God for you. We're going to ask you to remember to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Tell somebody that God is still in the healing and deliverance business. We'll see you all tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. Enjoy this song by God. God.
take a stand. Not knowing I'd lose my purpose, but I'd rather, live right than in hell. Lift up my eyes. All God's children just stand. Yeah. Tell somebody, say, you stand. Yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness. Whoa. Stand for righteousness.
And be counted,
among them that shall reign with him.
Stand. Not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, live right. Learn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of our children to stand. Stand. Everybody say it, you stand. Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Oh.
Like in baby, E A R O.